Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Prepare at last his return, your behavior our Savior discerns. I'll stay you in the end, my friend.
Hello and welcome to Tribulation Farce. I am your co-host Tim Lanning, and joining me as always, Jennifer Cheek.
Hello, everyone.
Here we are, continuing in our Book 3 Nikolai deep dive.
That's right.
Earlier today, I was like, Tribulation Farce. We read it so you don't have to. But I was like, no, we love it.
Oh, it's so good. I don't know if I'm ready to go there.
And everyone else should also read it. It's good.
I don't think I'm ready to go there, Can I actually bring up something that maybe I was going a little too hard on pilots and things in general in the past? Because since we recorded last, a plane, a whole damn door flew off of a plane.
A door exploded out of a plane.
Exploded out of a plane. And then I watched that documentary on Netflix about Boeing and the planes being really fucked up. And I'm like, okay, maybe Rayford really does need to go and study every single system in this plane. So that he doesn't accidentally kill everybody on board.
Right, because what you're saying, it's like, the main reason why they didn't want to roll out the new fix or whatever is they didn't want to retrain
They didn't want everyone to have to go train. I wanted to say module, but that's not right. They didn't want to have to go to the, like, fake airplane to train.
The big robot.
Whatever that is called. The simulation.
The gamer chair.
They didn't want them to have to go to the big airplane gamer chair in the sky. They just wanted them to be able to, like, take a test and do it. And they should have done that. A lot of people died.
Well, if we had more people like Tim LaHaye in the world.
Who cared? You know what, though? I'm kind of thinking this might be a Jerry Jenkins thing. It might be Jerry Jenkins who's getting really horny about the planes.
That's true.
But yeah, maybe if more people were like, whichever one of them was obsessed with planes.
Thank you.
Then, you know, maybe planes wouldn't be exploding hidden doors
Doors won't keep falling off.
Yeah, exactly.
How's your week been? I know that I have a kind of fucked up throat from going to the wrestling.
Yeah, you might notice this is a little late. It's because we went to the wrestling show on Saturday. But yeah, no, I'm good. It's, you know, it's very freezing rain is happening today. It's very dark right now. I do want to go to bed and it's 6 p.m. So that's kind of, you know, it's January. It's cold and dark.
Yeah, that's how you do it. But luckily, Nikolai is here to warm us up. Both the man and the book.
And boy, there's some spicy stuff
this is
in
crazy.
These chapters.
I think that, like, it's been this way for a while now, but I think it's more apparent now. They figured out how to write Ray.
They did figure out how to write Ray.
On Buck.
Yeah.
Because Ray is consistently, like, fine.
Yeah.
And if not even funny, right? After he gets to go dad mode and not, like, once he gets to, like, have his cake and eat it too about being a shitty male.
Right.
Because he can be like, oh, damn, my ego popped up and, you know,
I just gotta pray and apologize to God about it.
But, like, it's, you know, he still gets to be like, I can't believe I was like that before and now I'm gonna try it. And he can have, like, a measuring contest with one of my favorite characters. Leon Fortunato.
Oh my god, yeah. Mr. Fortunato.
Mission Fortunato. Leon Fortunato is such a fucking good name for
it's
a bad guy.
Stupid.
It's so dumb.
He literally, like, heard of Edgar Allan Poe, and he heard of the Cask of Amontillado one time, and I was like, that's it.
I mean, what's the first name? Who cares? Leon.
Fortunato? Hell yes.
I think Fortunato is a bigger deal in the beginning of the Left Behind Kids books.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's he doing? Is he, like, the ambassador for children? Or, like,
I don't remember. I think it's because, like, he he kind of just, like, shows up okay. in these books, right? In the main books.
Right.
And you know they're like, this guy fucking rocks. Can we go back and put him in there? Like, no, we can't.
The people are clamoring for Fortunato. We need him.
All these Fortunato heads out here. So what I think they did is probably just put him in there. Or I'm thinking of a completely different character. Which is always possible. But I think, like, one of the guys tries really hard to become the valedictorian of his year so that he can gospelitize.
Wait. He's worried about being the valedictorian during the tribulation.
Well, yeah. Did you not hear me finish the sentence? He wants to gospelitize.
I just feel like, I don't know what the school is. I guess.
Are you not listening? he wants to, in his valedictorian speech, say that Jesus Christ is Lord.
And then he's going to immediately get sniped in the head.
Yeah, I think they have to go around and live in the woods or something.
Oh, my God.
Because, yeah, I don't remember if they go faster or slower, but I feel like they get in the woods pretty quick.
This feels like it could be a really great, like, 80s, 90s action movie. Like, running away and, like, Fortunato and his minions are comically fucking everything up. They're chasing after him in helicopters.
Except for it being comical, I believe that would work. And I think, you know, they made that. The Left Behind Kids movie does exist.
No, really?
Yeah. Could have sworn I showed you the trailer.
Oh,
or maybe I wanted you to not watch it so that you could consume it later.
Sometimes things are so fucked up that I have seen them and I just have repressed them like all the way down. I don't remember that. And I didn't read those books. But we're going to get there. We'll get there eventually.
Yeah, I think
I gotta at least read some of them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my always goal is once we had a little more, once we saw the end in sight, quote unquote, right?
Yeah.
Books. I wanted to read all of them.
Yeah,
and all the kids' version just for Patreon. And
yes.
So that way, you know.
I just had a really.
Because there's so many more of them. There's like 80. I'm gonna say there's 80. Well, there might be 30.
I also assume that the books are like you can probably sit down and like read them in like an afternoon.
Oh, yeah. I think I've only ever read one book in one sitting. And it's one of the Left Behind Kids books.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I just had a crazy idea, which is what if we tell our nephew, like, well, what if you read one of these books? We'll just bribe him and then have him on to talk about one of the books.
Oh, God.
Because to get the opinion of a real-life teen.
All right, teen.
A teen.
What do you think about all this?
I think it could be funny. We'll see.
Sure. Chapter 5.
I was like, I just kept talking, waiting for you to interrupt me, and you didn't do it. So, once again, I'm going to be real with you guys. I'm playing with the format here because they keep doing the like flip back and forth between two viewpoints and it's fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. And I think this chapter actually starts out with Buck, but we're not going to go to that first.
Yeah. I mean, and yet again, I don't think it's stupid. It's just stupid if you have to make a podcast.
It's stupid if you have to make a podcast. Yeah. Yeah.
Why were they not thinking about podcasters?
They should have been thinking about podcasters that were making fun of their books.
Yeah. yeah. Cause like so many of the sections end with like bum, dum, bum. Then you'll be over there. Like the times when I was going back and forth trying to get us like all hard and stuff, like in book one. It wasn't always successful. Now I think it kind of is because it's like there are a lot of times they're like, well, I don't have anything to do. I got to go sleep.
Or, I think you're getting a little too left behind, Phil. I think you're getting a little too left behind, Phil, because I still found it kind of like, all right, nothing really happened in this section. Who cares?
Like, how dare you?
I'm just saying.
How dare you?
So let's begin with Rayford. He has taken off in the plane, and the second they're up in the air – you know, shit's about to go down.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Obviously, Rayford is once again using his handy-dandy eavesdropping button to listen in on Carpathia and his minions in the back. And they're like, it's go time.
Hey, motherfucker.
Drop those nukes on San Francisco.
Who wants to do some war crimes?
Who wants to kill a gay-ass city?
Trigger on. Yeah, they say the way it's written is very good. Very, like, the eagle, like, shall we commence, trigger in.
Extremely bad.
Yeah, it's very good. And I don't think I realized it before, but Rayford has to fucking hold the button.
Yeah, that is kind of like annoying. He should set up like a system.
Yeah, maybe it's safer that way. I don't know. Not that it matters. Oh, yeah.
Rayford
didn't know how much longer he could take being the devil's own pilot.
Yeah, I just love the idea of, like, a private plane with the devil's own pilot on the side of it. Like, the way that people give, like, you know, fancy boats. Names to yachts.
Yeah, do they do that with private planes?
I probably
don't. I think that's, like, a little too tight-laced, unfortunately. But
they should, though.
Shout out if you got a private plane. kill yourself.
Yeah, why do you got that?
Why do you got that?
If your job, if you're like our best friend, fuck, that I already forgot his name that shows up later.
Ken Ritz.
If you're Ken Ritz and your job is flying,
that's one thing.
That's okay. That. That's acceptable. If you just have a private plane, give us some money.
Or if it's a small one, because I think
a little plane. Yeah, that's a little plane.
I think you can afford a small plane.
I mean, like actual little ones. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean,
a private jet though.
A private jet is
that's too. Different. No, we all agree it's different, right?
That's different than a little plane.
Than like a Cessna, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
I just wanted to make sure.
If you live in Alaska and you like have to like fly to your house.
Yes. We should be very clear on which plane owners we want to die. And I think it's like if you don't fly it is pretty good.
If you're flying your own plane, I think that's okay.
Yeah, I might even let you have one of big, bad, expensive ones if you're the one.
I actually kind of feel like, if you actually fly it, all right, then, fine.
That's weird.
I don't know where you keep it. But, like, people have boats and shit. Shit's really expensive.
Yeah.
People have, like, 15 cars or whatever.
Yeah, and it's like, sometimes as you want to do activism and you're, like, aiming for the people that are, like a rung above you, like, there we go.
Yeah,
I took care of them. It's like, some people just have two houses.
Like, but you actually need to get the people that are 20 rungs above you because that's like the gap between you.
But
regardless, if you are listening to this and you do have your own plane, I do think you should put the Devil's Own Pilot on the side of it. Or maybe like you fly it around, like it's one of those message planes, like when you're at the beach and
Devil's Own Pilot.
And it says Devil's Own Pilot.
Well, I think that the Devil's Own Pilot is the pilot, not the plane.
Well, then he should have a lapel, like a button or a strip on his, like, you know, like a fancy captain jacket. This is the Devil's Own Pilot. Or on the back, he has a cool jacket. Yeah. I've changed how this is going to look sick. Now. I do think it should be like a leather jacket with the Devil's Own Pilot on the back.
Yeah, like one of them bomber jackets.
Hell yeah. Or like maybe like a sick, like leather vest that says the Devil's Own Pilot.
No, that's only for motorcycles.
And maybe it's for a small plane.
And let's be honest, they're a little fruity.
Wait, the planes are fruity?
The vests. Jesus.
You don't think someone fruity would wear a vest that says the Devil's Own Pilot? That's like the most fruity thing ever.
I think.
I want to wear that.
All right. If you're in the Sons of Anarchy, I'm sorry I said that.
I'm sorry I said that.
It gets hot out there.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, so anyway, Rayford's like, damn, this fucking sucks. I hate my job. later on, he's kind of like, damn, kind of wish I would die, actually.
Yeah.
Which was very cool, but we're not quite there
yet. I love
yet.
How much we all can relate to Rayford in these chapters, because like, he's same. Like so fucking depressed about his job. And he's like,
I hate my fucking job.
Lord, if you want to kill me, please.
That was literally me at my last job. Yeah. Like, man, if only I would just get hit by a city bus, that'd be so cool.
And I think they do a decent job of, like, really, really laying it on Ray. He's like, God damn, I'm not supposed to do this. This is so hard for me.
Also, Ray cries so much in these chapters, which also rocks.
But I think it's important to remember the timeline. I don't know how long we have been since Bruce died.
It's not long at all.
It's almost implied it's been a day.
It's only, yeah.
We are still within that day.
I don't know if it's the same day, but I think it's within the week for sure.
It's absolutely, yeah. It does not feel like it's, outside of like 36 hours.
I think it's just been a few days. So no, I would never make fun of Rayford for crying. Only just because I feel like he kind of made fun of people being all emotional before, but now who's emotional, Rayford?
Exactly.
When you have to listen to the devil's man be talking all the time on your plane, I guess it affects you.
Yeah. Thank you, Earl, for putting it in, but also damn, that's a lot for one man.
It's a heavy burden.
Heavy burden.
To be hearing the Antichrist talking and yapping his mouth all the time. Yeah. Rayford does his classic where he pretends to sleep while he eavesdrops, and he hears Fortunato say, Potentate, we'll need replacements for Hernandez, Halliday, and your fiancé, will we not? And Rayford's like, what the fuck?
What the fuck? And he like jumped up. Yeah. They should have said Hernandez, Halliday, and Hattie, and that's all three H's. Triple H.
Yeah.
So it's very much implied that Hernandez, who I don't remember, I think he was a co-pilot something.
The one that like him and Rayford kind of had like a nice connection. Yeah. Like, they were like kind of nice to each other.
Yeah. And then Halliday obviously is Earl Halliday, which when they were saying is like, I don't know who the fuck any of these people are. And then when they're like, when he's like, Earl's gonna die. I was like, oh, let me read these last three pages.
Yeah, it's his boss, the one that put in his eavesdropping butt.
Yeah, and Earl was pretty sure they're out to get him. So it sucks that here we are a handful of hours later, and they seem to think he's dead.
Yeah. So it is funny that they allow for like 1 second the reader to think that Carpathia had he killed, but then he immediately corrects it and is like, please do not put Miss Durham in the same category as our late friends. The only reason I ask you to replace Hattie is that the job has passed her by. Mm-hmm. And then fucking Carpathia takes a chance to dump on Hattie's clerical skills. Like, basically he was like, you can't think that I actually wanted her for her actual secretarial skills, right?
Yeah, it's like, I wanted to hire and I wanted her.
I just wanted to impregnate her.
I need to put my spawn in her. Ugh. Yeah, for a second I thought Leon's like, you want that I should do her? Meaning shoot her in the back of the head with his most mafia name ever. But then Carpathia's like, no, whatever you mean, I can handle it. Like, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah. So we do find out, I guess, Hattie's not going to be Carpathia's secretary anymore. She has moved up to the mother of his spawn role. So he's going to get a new secretary, I suppose.
Yeah, Antichrist matriarch.
Yes. And River's like, man, I'm fucking tired of this shit. I'm going to go to my sleeping quarters on the plane and cry.
Yeah, because it's basically like, should he just sit here and trauma dump all the shit on him because he's the only one that can hear it? But also, he can't really do anything about it. And, you know, unless they're going to keep bombing suburbs, like, what more can he do? So he's like, I got to quit this shit.
I mean, yeah, he's got to do pilot shit and he does need to sleep. Yeah. So now we'll go over to Buck, who is still trying to find Chloe. He's like triangulating with Verna. So Chloe like called the Global Weekly office, a lot of like phone tag again, that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But Buck figures out finally, like, okay, I kind of have a general direction of where I need to go to look for Chloe. And he's running around outside and he finally is able to connect with her on the car phone, but she's not doing so good.
Yeah. She has very much like, Buck. Oh, no, owie.
Mr. Buck, I don't feel so good.
And like, where the fuck are you? And like, I don't know, man. It's fuck. Because they vaguely know where she is, and they're like, how the fuck did she get there? Like, oh, she must have gone here and gone there. I briefly Googled some of these streets in Chicago, and I was like, wow, that's a big ass, that's a great lake right there. That's a big old lake right there. And then I kind of was like, I don't know where she is.
Yeah, I was like, I don't fucking care. I was just letting this all just flow through my brain.
Yeah.
But the important thing is we find out the Land Rover is like stuck in a fucking tree, basically. She's like hanging like sideways in the Land Rover and she's like, I think my ankle's broken and my shit's all messed up in here.
Yeah. Jerry B saw Jurassic Park and is like, I gotta do that.
Yes.
Because it's basically the exact same thing.
Is it really?
Yeah. Except for this version is kind of cooler. Well, there might be dinosaurs in that scene. But besides the dinosaurs.
If there were dinosaurs in it, I would definitely.
Because I think at the end, Buck rides the car down. So
I think that is what happened.
That was pretty sick.
Buck probably does make it to Chloe, and because she like is able to turn the headlights on. So he's like, oh, I see you. All right. I'm going to help.
Yeah. And he saw like some busted guard rails and shit like that. When she turns the headlights on, he's like, stop, turn them off. We don't want anyone else seeing us. I'm like, damn, you're paranoid.
Like, who do you think is going to see you? Like, there's enough, like, chaos going on. Right. I don't think anyone fucking cares.
Yeah.
But, oh, fine. Whatever. I mean,
he's been in wars.
He's been in wars, and he is, like, close and personal with the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. So, like, fair enough to be paranoid, I suppose.
Yeah.
I did think Buck made a funny little joke here.
Yes.
I thought this was funny. Because he finally gets to Chloe, and he says,
I just have one question for you first. Is this how our married life is going to be? I'm going to buy you an expensive car and you're just going to ruin them the first day?
I think that's a pretty funny joke to do that.
That's pretty
good.
But
Chloe's like, haha, not, that would normally be funny, but I'm hanging sideways in a Land Rover. So can we get me out of here, please?
I'm all busted.
Yeah. Yeah, Buck is like nearly crushed. I feel like every time something like really crazy happens, they talked about how it almost went really bad.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's their way of being like,
the
God,
Lord.
God did that. God did that.
Other books are just like, well, we wouldn't have written a book about this guy if he died here. More, but like, this one's like, no, God did it.
No, God is always saving the tribulation.
Good
course.
For him. Good for him.
So yeah, Chloe has a broken ankle and a sprained wrist, but she's overall fine, like, considering what has happened.
Yeah, because it seems like either A, the bomb exploded and like lifted her off.
That's kind of the impression that I got, that it wasn't like her driving that caused this issue.
Or B, she was getting off, the bomb happened, she didn't turn, and she's barreled off of a highway. Either or, both sucked and were bomb related.
They were bomb related, exactly. Yeah,
it wasn't like she just panicked because, you know.
Chloe's mostly fine. And also, Bruce's documents in the back and the fancy laptop and all the 5 cell phones are all okay too. Thank God.
Thank the Lord. And Buck only gets away with like a couple scrapes. Some seem kind of bad. And then a broken rib. Not great, but you know.
Oh, I forgot he had a broken rib. I wasn't paying attention to him. So now let's get back to Rayford. He's back in the cockpit now. He's had his little cry in his quarters on the plane. But he's like, you know what? I'm going to take a little walk around the cabin. Because this is like, they're flying from San Francisco to Baghdad.
Yeah.
Which is like the opposite direction you'd normally go.
Yeah, I think so.
To get there. So it's a pretty long flight is what they're implying. We also, important information alert, we get confirmation in this section that Bruce has said that the Antichrist would not be indwelt by Satan until halfway through the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we thought before, but we do get confirmation. In the lore of this book, he does not currently have Satan inside of him.
Yeah, yeah. I think he said that earlier, too.
But I'm just reiterating it because we were kind of talking about it before. Rayford, there's a series of, like, Chloe calls Rayford, and then, Buck is calling Carpathia at the same time.
Right.
Regardless, they have, like, a connection there, and Rayford's like, okay, cool, Chloe's fine. Also, I know I can hear that Carpathia is talking to Buck right now.
So, I'll just go to my little cockpit and listen on half of the conversation between Nikolai and, Buck. And through Rayford's point of view, oddly enough.
Yes. So
they could have just switched to Buck and we could have gotten the whole thing.
He could have, but they're like, nah, we're not doing it.
This one's more spicy.
Buck is actually, so at first Carpathia is like wanting Buck to come to New Babylon, but it sounds like from the one side of the conversation, Buck's like, no, I need to go to Israel right now. So Carpathia's like, that's cool and fine. So we know Buck's going to go to Israel.
Yeah. And he seemed to even push back a little bit against Carpathia, and Ray was like, look at you go, boy.
Damn. You got some,
Cajones.
Cajones.
Yeah, exactly. Chapter 6.
So now Buck is back at Loretta's house, and this is like the place to be now.
Oh yeah, it seems so fun.
Yeah, Loretta's, is at her own house. Chloe, Vernazzi, and Amanda, everyone's all there, because I guess Buck went and picked Amanda up.
Yeah, at some point.
At some point.
Because Amanda was already there, and the Range Rover, despite being hung in a tree for a couple hours and then falling to the ground, like in Jurassic Park, it still works.
Yeah, it's like pretty much fine.
And that's why Range Rovers, best cars, get one.
This podcast sponsored by Range Rover.
Jennifer thought a Hummer was a Range Rover.
They're like the same. They're big, annoying vehicles that can drive through a swamp.
Yeah, Range Rovers aren't weirdly that big, all things considered.
This is a Land Rover.
Land Rover,
yeah. I don't, are they really not? This sounded like a big-ass car to me, but maybe I'm wrong.
This one, maybe I'm confusing two things, but also, in our day and age, cars are just getting bigger and bigger and
they're
bigger.
All and big, and I hate them.
If you want an SUV, fucking kill yourself.
If your car has freaking LED headlights, kill yourself.
Yeah.
I know you don't really necessarily have control over whether your headlights are LED or
and
not.
And I also know
but you But I hate them.
You don't really have control of the whims of society, but what you want is a van. You don't want an SUV. You want a van.
Well, some SUVs are, like, if it's a small SUV.
No, they're all bad.
I don't know. I'm not trying to say, you guys can yell at Tim if you have a dissenting opinion there. I have no beef with an SUV. I have beef with big trucks. That's where my beef lies, so I don't care about the SUV.
Well, I mean, a couple years ago, I would have said, if you have a car.
Just but now we have a car. So I don't want to,
having a car is okay if I have one, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So while everyone's, you know, hanging out, recuperating at Loretta's house, Buck is looking at all of Bruce's documents, which I thought was interesting. Because, like, did we not just have a conversation that Chloe was going to do this?
But Chloe, all beat up.
Yeah, but her brain's not damaged. She's still looking stuff.
She's asleep.
I guess, but
I have no idea. He literally does say, man, this is going to be quite the job for me.
And like, they're literally, you just had a conversation about how Chloe was going to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's injured in her leg and like wrist. She could definitely do this.
It's set up strangely.
It's just really weird to bring it up at all.
Because like, they're not, that's not even what they're doing.
No.
Because Buck just sets it up But maybe they just didn't write the sentence well or something like that. But
I don't know.
Buck really goes and takes credit for the job. And meanwhile, he's making plans to leave for the rest of the week.
Buck sets up all his 5 fancy cell phones. Like, this isn't got a battery in it, too? I'm like, what are you talking about right now? Like, this is about putting the batteries in the cell phone.
I don't know.
Like, I it feels like this is a case of, like, an old guy riding technology he doesn't understand sometimes.
I mean, this is 23 years ago, so who's to say? And these are, like, fancy satellite phones, so I assume they probably have.
Yeah, maybe they got fancy battery.
Replaceable batteries, like fucking weed whacker or something.
But the most important thing is that Buck uses one of these fancy cell phones to call our favorite pilot, Ken Ritz.
Oh my God, did I scream when Ken came back on? I missed him so much.
Ken, can you hang around, please? We miss you.
Yeah, and the fact that he showed back up makes me be like, this is the pilot that I'm thinking of. Yay!
I mean, yeah, he's not dead, so.
Yeah.
And yeah, so Ken, lucky for Buck, Ken does have his plane, and he's available.
He owns a private jet, but he does it for work.
But he flies it, so it's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. He owns the means of his production.
Yeah, oh, damn. Damn, yeah. That's a great way to say it. Hell yeah.
Ken's like, yeah, buddy, I'll fly to Israel and back. Yeah. You're gonna have some bad jet lag, but you're gonna pay me a bajillion dollars, so
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like. It seems like he had a bigger business, but it got blown up, but they didn't really dwell on it. Like, all right, bud, I'll bring you
there. Let's not get into that. Yeah, I only have one plane now.
I don't need to explain. I got one plane, and I'm free. Here's the price, Buck.
Ken rocks, because he's just like a guy that's just like, I want to make money. And he just shows up sometimes.
Yeah.
Also, while Buck is doing all his checking in with different people, he gets a status update on Zion Benjuda, because Haim calls him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Benjuda is alive, but things are very dangerous right now.
Right. And we get a very, like, spy-style conversation. Like, our mutual bud, he's okay, but he has the emotion that is opposite of happy.
Well, Haim literally does, like, our friend, who I will not name on the phone.
Oh,
like,
God.
Bro, this is, like, 101. This come is 101. On.
You got it. Yeah, I'd be like,
Haim, have you not seen The Sopranos?
The eagle is hiding.
Yeah, you gotta have some code names.
Yeah.
Come on. But yeah, he's really worried, and he kind of brings this to Carpathia again. Buck's like, no,
stop saying
do not
that.
Bring Carpathia into this.
I'm praying so hard that you don't do it, Jesus.
Which we find out later. Right. He ignores.
He does ignore it. Thank God.
Which I kind of like forgot about actually until I was doing the notes and I'm like, wow, he really just like turned around and ignored what Buck said.
Yeah.
Which is funny. Now let's go back over to Rayford. He's on the plane, still flying in the air, and Fortunato comes to visit and is like, hey, we're landing in Baghdad, not in New Babylon. We gotta like throw everyone off their scent, like they're not gonna be expecting us there.
And make sure that the security is A-okay New Babylon. And part of my fear is they're just gonna kill a whole bunch of people.
I mean, probably,
Probably, yeah.
This was a funny little scene.
I like this scene.
Cause Rayford brings up to Fortunato, like, hey, technically, according to international aviation rules, I should not fly for 24 hours. And Fortunato does not like that. and he's basically like, well, your only job is to fly this fucking plane. So you're going to be ready to fly it again in 4 hours.
And I don't know if you realize it, but you're flying the friggin' Antichrist of the damn Earth. So I'm pretty sure the guy who makes up aviation rules, if he wanted to, we'll say we'll bend it, bub.
Yeah, yeah. And he gets really snippy with Rayford, and he says, I would appreciate it if you would refer to me as Mr. Fortunato. And Rayford's all snippy at him and says,
that means a lot to you, does it, Leon?
And then Fortunato says back, don't push me, Steel. Then, while they're walking into the terminal together, Rayford says,
as I'm the only one who can fly that plane, I would appreciate it if you would call me Captain Steel.
This did make me laugh, but it also feels extremely like some shit that like your Republican dad would be like, that's some, they got his get ass, him, got him. That's the best way to get someone.
I mean, yeah, he big dogged him in such a sick way. Like, hey bro, you literally said you need me. I mean, either earlier or later, he's like, yeah, there's so many people that can fly this plane, but like, damn. But here, they're like, hey, you literally said you need me or else I wouldn't fly the plane. So.
I do feel like generally probably not a great idea to piss off the person who's flying your plane.
Yeah.
Like, maybe be a little, you know, deferential to the person who has your life in their hands.
Yeah. And just saying, that means a lot to you, does it? It's so, so harsh.
He got his ass. Like, because it makes him immediately be like, no, what? Like, wait, well, but yes, it does. Like,
this guy's full name is Leonardo Fortunato. Leonardo Fortunato.
Is it Leonardo?
It has to be.
No, it can just be Leon.
No.
Leonardo Fortunato.
It's
Book of the Beppo.
Yeah, that's a Book of the Beppo right there to me.
Oh, man. So I guess they've gotten off the plane now. And Rayford looks up to watch the news, and oh, guess what? Carpathia's talking on the damn news again. And obviously, like, all the news is actually getting out about what's happening has, like, extreme global community spin on it.
Yep. So, like, even though they're sad about everything, it's like, luckily, our great leader is, you know, in control, has a handle on things, and is getting those ne'er-do-wells dealt with.
Yeah, so as Rayford's watching the news about all the newest deaths that have happened, he starts to feel guilty again about not being able to save people in general, because he knew that San Francisco was going to get bombed.
Right,
but he
couldn't
save those people.
Yeah, because like when one of the pilots got off, maybe it was even Hernandez himself, he's like, God, I can't fucking say anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And he feels very guilty about that, and like even more, he feels very guilty about Earl Halliday because that was like his boss, and like he was like friendly with him.
Yeah, and he also knows that's not really his fault for Halliday because it's like, oh, you know, he was working with Nikolai for a while,
right?
And
he
was just any pilot would have died based on the sort of the tangled web that was set up because again, like the plan was, it seems, for Earl to die on Global Community 1 when it was bombed by the terrorists. And I guess they must have figured out, yeah, he was clearly alive at whatever point when Earl found him. He was like, you fucking fuck. But Earl was like, goddamn, things are a little weird. Tell my wife that I love her or something like that if
right,
I die.
Right.
So he knew things were rough earlier on. And like he even says, like, I don't know how he died, but I still feel guilty about it.
Now, the thing that I don't understand in this section is that Rayford is thinking to himself about, like, letting Earl's wife know, and he thinks, however, there would be no way Mrs. Halliday would know or understand anything except that it appeared Rayford had led his old friend and boss directly to his death. Now, why would she think that? Why would she think that's on Rayford?
Yeah.
Is it just like a bomb went off or something? Like, what?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I think it's just like the classic, in grief, you're not necessarily thinking straight. So it's like you had him go do this and he died during that. But, yeah.
Okay. But, well, this is where my brain gets to be maybe a little too logical because it's like, well, bro, you're just writing her a letter. Like, she's not, like, is she going to, what, send you, like, a mean letter back? Like, you're not going to have to deal with it. Like, you don't have to tell her in person. She's not going to, like, scream at you and like beat you with her fist. Like, just send that little letter off and don't send a return address. She can't get back to you.
She can call him.
He can ignore it. He should start screening his call.
Sure,
I'm just saying there's like, he doesn't even have to deal with this if he doesn't want to.
Okay. Maybe.
Like.
Sure.
It's not like he has to go to her house and like tell her in person. He's just like writing a letter to her and be like, you did.
Damn.
sorry about it, but.
You're crazy.
But he doesn't have to deal with the immediate, like, effect of it, is all I'm saying.
Raise an empath.
Yeah, he's not crying all the damn time. So, actually speaking of, he also thinks, he knew he could cry 24 hours a day from now until the end of the tribulation. He basically is like, I don't have any more tears at this point. I've already cried all my tears out.
Yeah, and it's like, man, this is going to fucking suck.
Man,
and that's
if I
when
just cry every day?
Yeah, because it's like, it's bad now, but it's going to get even worse. And, well, you know, Lord, if you want to take me home, baby girl. Like, hey, maybe super painless. Like, I'm just sitting there and all of a sudden, nothing. That'd be so sick, but I guess I got to be here.
Yeah, I mean, again, this does kind of get to where it's like, well, I was going to say, why don't you just why don't you just kill yourself? You can say, but I guess the whole thing is they're trying to save other people. So yeah. They got to stick around.
And he doesn't want to leave everyone else behind.
Yeah. So he's cursed to stay on this wretched earth until the Lord takes him via, I don't know, bomb or, you know, plague or maybe a too big of a bug. Carpathia, like, throws some papers at him too hard. Like, I don't know. Now let's go over to Buck is on his way to the airport. Amanda is driving him there. And Chloe's like, I want to ride along. And at first Buck's like, oh, like, are you really feeling up to that? And she's like, I want to go because I might not ever see you again.
Yeah, maybe it's not the best way for me to heal my ankle, but what if you explode?
Yeah. And Buck is at first like, well, that's kind of like maudlin, isn't it? And I love Amanda's response. She like was like, Buck, you cater to her feelings now. I had to kiss my husband goodbye in front of the Antichrist. You think that gives me confidence about whether I'll see him again? I had to kiss my husband goodbye in front of the Antichrist.
I had to kiss my husband goodbye in front of the Antichrist.
Just like, there are so many hilarious sentences in here. Purely because the word Antichrist is in it.
Is there. Like, and can we also just say, Buck, shut the fuck up. Like, my dude sprinted through blown up Chicago. What do you mean maudlin? How is it too maudlin?
Yeah, like,
You're in the fucking tribulation, and the Red Horseman is all over the fucking place.
He is galloping across the planet.
He's going back and
forth.
You're
not worried you're not going to see Chloe again, bitch?
That's not maudlin, you dumb dumb.
Yeah, that's
dumb,
just
dumb
logical,
bitch.
Man. Buck, I'm going to kill you.
Buck, if you don't get better, I'm going to fucking kill you.
I'm gonna freaking throw you into the lake.
Buck,
the big lake in Chicago.
The one character that I know doesn't die from my memory. Well, he might die at the very, 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 very end. But
God, I hope so.
Because the book ends with the wall falling on top of him as Jesus returns.
I do want to read his death. I want him to die.
He's shooting. Again, I think it's funnier if you know that. And Buck's story is he's on the walls of, like, Jerusalem with, like, an AK-47.
Oh, my God.
Fighting.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
I mean, these books rock.
I think that's... Yeah, they do rock in their own way, for sure. So as they're driving to the airport, because the Land Rover has, like, a TV in it, they're watching the news, watching/listening to the news in the car.
They were luckily pointing out Buck couldn't see it.
Yeah, he's just listening. And Carpathia is explaining to everyone, like, okay, like, we're putting together this huge relief fund to, like, help everyone affected by the bombings and everything. And he makes this, like, little aside that I thought was interesting. Local efforts to rebuild and care for the displaced will likely be thwarted by opportunists and looters.
Yeah.
Because that is such a, like, a right-wing talking point that I thought that was kind of interesting. That they still had him saying. There's a lot of weirdness of, like, who do you have saying this?
Yes.
And, like, what do you mean by that?
Yes, because it's, like, it's so clear that their politics is being pushed here. Because there's so much of, like, this goal. The goal here is to bring – this is a horrible idea that makes Republicans want to shit their pants is – we're going to bring the standard of living and equal it out, meaning third world countries will now be brought up, right?
And they hate that. That's the most evil thing they can think of. It's their worst nightmare.
Right. And Carpathia sort of gets around the whole, like, obvious argument that a Republican would make. Is like, well, if you bring them up, you got to bring us down. Well, America was part of the insurrection, and a lot of America is destroyed. And then he has deeper plans, but this is, like, so right-wing conspiracy-filled.
Extremely.
That, you know, yeah, the way you said it just kind of feels like it's going back and forth. Like, yes, the Carpathia would say this because he has hypnotist powers and he's the Antichrist. So, like, the way that he kind of seeds this public address, like, hey, man, we're going to do it, but you know some motherfuckers are going to get in the way. And then, like, later in this chapter, he kind of explains, like, what we expect to happen. And it's, like, really, really fucked up. But, like, it's probably the worst thing Carpathia's ever said, I think. And I was like, I can't get behind you on this one, brother.
Like, sorry. Where you're going, I cannot follow.
I cannot follow you right here. Although, dude, oh god, yeah. It's crazy.
It's really funny. Like this little chunk of two chapters. The first chapter was like tiny, like really short, and the second chapter just like ramps up towards the end, like with like insane shit.
Like even if they're the exact same number of words. Like, the shit that happens in this chapter is crazy.
I did want to just, like, flag as far as, like, weird, like, conspiracy theory, like, right-wing, like, reactionary thought processes. We have the Antichrist who is trying to, like, amass this large relief fund and rebuild things. And I have seen a lot of right-wingers are, like, very distrustful of, like, government aid and relief because they're always like, they're setting up the FEMA camps and they're gonna use it as an excuse to like make it a killing camp.
It's
very confused because again, it's like the looting conversation, like I wouldn't think that someone who's like doing, if they have like the like faux leftist, you know, doing the like setting things up for government relief, like they wouldn't also bring up the looting. So I thought that was a little bit mixed and weird.
Yeah.
Because that's like a very right wing thing to bring up looting. I don't know.
No, I think you're right.
I think it's not very coherent.
Yeah.
Like the viewpoint. I don't think they just know, they're just like trying to make him sound evil.
Yeah.
for reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I think like they sort of explain it later. But even then, it's still a little confusing, so we can touch on it when we get there.
The whole next part, pretty much, is just Rafer eavesdropping again.
Yeah.
And I do think, like, I'm loving the eavesdropping mechanism. Yes.
Thank you, Earl. Sorry you died. Thank you.
RIP, buddy.
I honestly don't think we'd have much of a book without him, you know?
So true. Can I just say, though, like, again, this is where, like, the like, evangelical logic of, like, being saved starts to, like, really, like, break down for me. Because, like, theoretically.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Earl did this thing that is going to enable so many people to be saved because Rafer is part of the Tribulation Force and blah, 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 blah. But if he didn't say the words, then it's like, well, too bad, Earl Halliday. You, like, allowed all these people to get saved, but you personally, going to hell.
Yeah, I mean.
Burning for eternity.
Well, you sound very Catholic right now.
I'm just saying it's fucked up.
Well, I mean, he didn't do it for
but
that
still,
reason,
though, like, I think it's messed up because he did do a good thing.
Yeah. Well, I think we get in the it's like a reverse The Good Place, if you've seen the program.
Yeah.
Basically, they eventually get to the point where it's like, everything's so complicated that no one's good anymore because everything we do is tinged with bad, which is true. Which is why, like, I don't really mean you should kill yourself if you have an SUV.
Right.
This time. But, you know, that's a reverse version of it. It's like, well, yeah. I guess if you, whatever, if you hit a kid who's riding his bike and it turned out that was a bad kid, that was gonna be a real bad kid.
It's like, I actually got to heaven because of that, because he was gonna be Hitler too.
Yeah, I thought I was gonna go to hell for killing a kid. Opposite. But we don't know. You know, the Lord works in mysterious ways, and the heart is the most important thing. And, you know, maybe Earl did it just to be messy. And that's not nice. Like, the ends don't justify the means all the time.
Justin. He just wanted the tea. That's why he did it. Exactly. He just wanted the gossip. And
now, I think we agree. We have literally no idea why Earl did this.
No.
It makes zero sense.
Can I give a
prediction? Thank you.
Can I give a prediction, though?
Sure.
I think that at the end of the books, when I'm assuming they're going to, like, show us what heaven looks like, and Rafer's showing up there, I think Earl Halliday's gonna
be like,
I think he'll have gotten saved at the last second. And okay. Then it got to him, and that's what, and Rayford's gonna like be crying in heaven, mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, my boss, I did get you saved, I didn't kill you.
Yeah, I got two wives now,
that's super sick. You wanna come hang out in my mansion? I got a really big mansion.
Big one.
For my two wives.
Yeah, I got two wives. Well, we each have I don't understand it. I'm a man, so I get a mansion. Ooh. They don't.
Well, but see, yeah, Amanda has a
mansion.
Amanda, her ex-husband was Christian also, right? So they're going to share that. They're going to share that house.
Because she's a reverse ring.
They're going to be in a swinger situation.
Oh, God.
In heaven. I don't know how it's supposed to work otherwise. This is why they can't actually go to heaven in these books, is they don't want to get into that. Like, no, wait a second. Well, who's married?
So they won't go to heaven because there's a – and I think the books cover this, by the way.
There is the heavens on earth.
Yeah, because it's a 1,000 years of heaven on earth.
Right.
And then at some point they merge. And I forget – I don't know if it's like everyone in heaven comes back to earth or everyone on earth – in the universe, everything's just good. I don't really remember. But my understanding is, yeah, they touch on that.
They might do a little yada, yada, yada.
I think there's a
logistics of it.
It would be quite boring if it was 1,000 years of just hanging out with my man, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it sounds bad.
If there's like a Left Behind wiki for like, there'd be like a Rafer page, a Buck page, and there most likely is Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ is a wiki.
Because he has to be there, right? Because he comes back at the end of the 7 years, right?
I think so, yeah.
Because in their version, Jesus didn't come back to cause the rapture, which is what I always believed. But then it started to get more complicated. It's like, oh, Jesus comes back halfway and like gets killed. And he takes,
I'm not ready yet.
And he takes all the Christians back. Or that's enough to be called coming back and he takes them all away. Regardless, the book did not really point out a lot of Jesus stuff. That being said, I can't wait to meet my favorite character, Jesus Christ.
Yes. Carpathia and his minions are having a meeting on the big fancy plane. So Rayford's like, hell yeah, time to do my favorite thing, which is eavesdropping.
Yeah, and I thought this was fun because he's not supposed to be on the plane now. So part of the reason why he was pushing back against Leonardo Fortunato was because he's like, well, I still need to twist the bells and kick the tires of this new plane because it's brand new, baby, so I'll be there. And he's like, just stay out of my way. He's like, I guess I'll do that.
And it is funny because they, like, see Rayford on the plane, and they're like, let's go to the back. And Rayford goes and, like, to the cockpit and, like, locks the door. And I'm sure they're like, all right, now he can't hear us. And he's like, you idiot.
Idiot.
I've got my magic button, and I can hear everything you're saying. They start the meeting, and one of the Carpathia's minions is like, Mr. Carpathia, sir, Rosenzweig is calling you about Ben Judah.
Hater.
Yeah, which we now know, Rosenzweig did not listen to Buck's request. But to Rosenzweig at this point, he still is like, Nikolai Carpathia is basically Jesus.
Right.
And he's powerful, and I want to help my friend.
Yeah.
But we hear Carpathia's side of it, and he's basically like, just keep blowing him off.
Yeah, that guy's a dumb.
Yeah, like, I don't fucking care about that guy.
Yeah. If anything, we should pay the zealots to do a better job. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because he hates Ben Judah for obvious reasons. And I wonder if there's not so obvious reasons. Like, does he ever look in the mirror like, why do I hate this guy so much? Probably not.
I like how the way that Carpathia is gonna kind of like string Rosenzweig along is that he'll be like stalling him, and then in the end he's gonna say, I've chosen to remain neutral on the subject.
Yeah, of course.
Which is like, that is real. That's how this shit does work.
You're remaining neutral between the guy who has a different religious belief against the guys that want to shoot him.
Yeah. And Carpathia gets into it a little bit. He's like, yeah, I don't fucking care about Ben Judah because he is dangerous to our cause because he wants to fill his countrymen's minds with this blather about the Messiah having already returned.
Yuck.
And then, Tim, can you read this little quote from Carpathia, which is also extremely a quote with very much a viewpoint happening.
How anyone can still insist on taking the Bible literally and interpreting its prophecies in that light is beyond me. But tens of thousands of converts and devotees have sprung up in Israel and around the world due to his preaching. People will believe anything, and when they do, they are dangerous. Ben Judah's time is short, and I will not stand in the way of his demise.
So first of all, let's talk about the fact that out of the Antichrist's mouth, they have him saying, oh, anyone can still insist on taking the Bible literally and interpret it as prophecies, and that lies beyond me. Mm-hmm. So it's like, because it's the Antichrist saying it, the reader is supposed to be like, well, he's foolish and wrong.
Right, because it's the same sentence everyone else says of like, how could I have not taken this truthfully?
Right.
But he's the Antichrist, so he says, well, it's dumb if you do.
And I just think it's funny because, like, honestly, like, not taking the Bible literally and not, like, literally interpreting these prophecies is, like, a pretty mainstream Christian, like, approach to things. And he's putting that in the mouth of the Antichrist.
Yeah, it's weird because...
But I don't think it is weird. I think that's extremely in line with evangelical thought. Like, they think it is, like, evil to not read the Bible literally, and that's, like, worldly. And that's like, you're going down the path.
Right.
To unbelief.
But theoretically, there's still a chunk of Christians that don't believe the Bible is 100% literal. And they would be like, oh, okay.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, they're basically like two evangelicals, like liberal, like left wing, like Christians. They're like, you're not even a Christian.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Because you don't view the Bible in the same way that I do.
Right.
And the other thing I wanted to bring up in this little section, I think that the way that Carpathia talks is so funny. I was literally just doing I'm doing like a training, like a course right now on writing for work. And, the big thing that I was learning today is like, cutting down your words and not using like big long words just to sound fancy. Yeah. And I feel like that's like all they do with Carpathia is have him like using big words just cause.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you sound like a fucking idiot. But I feel like they're doing that intentionally because I think they're trying to make him seem like pretentious and like weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely the intellectual, the weird way that he talks and the, even to a lesser extent, but still kind of in that same vein is the way that he doesn't use contractions.
It's like, they're making him out to be like foreign. And I don't mean like from another country necessarily, but like weird.
Yeah, kind of alien, not from another country.
But from another.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for. Another plane of existence. So after Carpathia's like, all right, yeah, I don't fucking care about Ben Judah. I hope he fucking dies. He's like, now let's get to business about how to make money.
Yeah. This is a fun little peek behind the curtain. And, you know, I think we have four different Carpathia voices. You have the Carpathia in sort of like complete public. You have Carpathia like on the news.
Uh-huh.
You have or like Carpathia with around normal people in person. You have Carpathia in the news. You have Carpathia around his, and that kind of includes like his own people,
right?
And then you have the fourth version, which is maybe even a fifth if you kind of break some of these up more, which is when he goes Antichrist mode.
Right. Yes, he switches on the Antichrist button
because like the way that he talks here is a little bit different than the way he was talking before, but still similar enough. But it's so blatant about how they are doing bad things.
Yes.
And like before,
very matter of fact.
Right. And before, at the end of the last book, they were still kind of doing this, but they were talking in code and, you know, still using the like illusion that they were doing the right thing a little bit. But here, this is like the second to last evil version before later we get Antichrist where he's like, all right, here's what we're going to fucking do. Mm-hmm. You know, here's how it's good that people are dying and things like that. So I thought it was like kind of interesting just to see like, cause you know, I thought about it when they brought it up last book of like, how does he talk to them and make it seem like, yes, we have to blow up all of London. That's the right thing.
Yeah.
And we, like we said, he doesn't really have to because he can brainwash them. But I think it's interesting here that they do delineate between Antichrist brainwashing and the other stuff.
It's like a distinct like tone and voice that he does when he goes into brainwash mode.
And you know, obviously these people have been brainwashed before, so he doesn't have to always do it. But that kind of makes it more interesting that later in this chapter he does go to brainwash mode because he's like, here's more deep stuff. So it's really weird. It's a good choice. Great books.
I'm workshopping something. Mm. Should we call it going NC Ultra mode? Nikolai Carpathia Ultra.
Okay. I like that.
So right now he's still in just like normal, not like hypnotic Carpathia.
Right. He's behind closed doors, Carpathia. Yeah.
So, yeah. So he starts talking about the plan, like, okay, we've got, like, a lot of problems going on in the world. A lot of bombs have happened. We need to raise money so that we can, you know, rebuild and, like, help everybody.
And, you know,
the most evil thing you can possibly think of.
Right. And I was like, how are they going to make this seem shitty? Because, you know, when he did the address, he's like, it's going to be the biggest relief fund ever. And now that we're behind closed doors, like, taxes.
And you, that's the most evil thing.
The most evil thing.
Doing taxes. Yeah. And specifically, he says, we will need much more to affect our plan of raising the level of the third world countries so that the entire globe is on equal footing.
Right.
Again.
Worst thing.
Literally, from the mouth of the Antichrist, everyone being equal is bad.
Yes. Yes.
We hate this. Christians, we're against this.
Yes.
We don't want the whole world to be on equal footing.
Correct.
Like, do you hear yourself?
Do you hear yourself?
Do you hear yourself? You sound like a fucking, like, evil, like, megalomaniac.
Yeah, you sound like the Antichrist right now.
You sound like the fucking Antichrist right now. Oh, and, oh my God, and then this next part, I was losing it when I got to this. You all have been doing a wonderful job of moving to the one world currency. We are close to a cashless society, which should only help the global community administration.
Hell yeah.
I don't know that I had specifically heard of moving to a cashless society as being, like, part of the one world, like, evil, which is, and I think that's extra funny in the world now where a bunch of these right wing people have gotten super into crypto.
Right.
And, like, NFTs and shit.
Well, yeah, it's true because, like, you know, shout out to the gold freaks. At least that sort of makes sense.
Right. It was like a physical thing.
Right. But, like, exists. I mean, that's how the justification is. That the mark of the beast is going to work because you don't have cash. You
Right. The debit card, the chips. Yeah. You're going to need the chip.
So even outside of this book, that was kind of like the vibe. And that's like the vibe of, you know, many people who will show up to jury duty or will come and fix your toilet or will fly your plane.
They're driving beside you on the highway.
Yeah, they are. They think the vaccine was a step in this direction.
They think that it's literally implanting chips into you.
Right.
But yeah, I just think it's really funny that, like, these, like, conspiracy theory beliefs are not always, like, super coherent and they kind of shift over time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just interesting that when this was written, it was like, cashless society, that's so evil.
Yeah.
And, like, now I don't really, like, I feel like that same group, there's a significant overlap with the crypto people.
Because they've lived in a world where it makes sense. Carrying cash sucks. Like,
it does suck. Yeah, they're like, okay, we don't like doing that, actually. It sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, now that I can, like, tap my watch at the grocery store, I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So they've moved away from being afraid of that, maybe. I think some people still are. But, again, I think that's more they think of it as in the vaccine realm.
Yeah, I think the cashless is less of a specific thing.
And more – there might not be more fear of chips in your body.
Yeah, it's more a fear of, like, a large government entity controlling all that stuff.
Do you remember – I feel like I remember very clearly seeing a Chick Tract that was talking about, like, the tribulation and shit. And the idea being that you would have a barcode on your forehead.
Yeah.
Like, tattooed on your forehead. I mean, because the mark of the beast, right?
Right. And I think, like, that made everything less interesting. Because they're like, well, how are you going to buy stuff if you don't have a barcode? It's like, bitch, you should have waited 20 years. Like, the amount of time and the amount of technology that's progressed, it's got to be a QR code. Because you can make those silly.
Oh, my God. A QR code on your forehead.
Yeah. I think some sex workers have QR codes that – tattoos. Literally work. They'll go to, like, their OnlyFans and shit.
That's kind of awesome, actually.
I haven't tested it, but I saw a picture. And I was like, I bet that's what that is. And it made me laugh.
I mean, no, that rocks, actually. Mm-hmm. But that's, like, again – you're owning the means of your own production in that situation. So that's your own choice.
I think that's a good point. I would get the mark of the beast because that sounds better.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't have to bring my watch in. I don't have to bring my phone
in. It's way more
convenient.
I don't have to bring my
fucking, no.
Beep, boop. Yeah.
Easy.
Mark of the beast done.
Beep, boop.
We take the mark of the beast. And that's what, like, all the grocery stores and coffee shops and stuff.
They have to say it.
Yeah. There's just, like, a sign on the front. We take the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to just, like, going to cashless society, blah, 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 Carpathia starts to explain his other plans for making more money. And number one, he's going to make a 10-cent tax on all electronic money transfers.
Right. So that's like, hey, I need to I need to buy this candy bar at the gas station. It's like, well,
10 cent tax, bitch.
We got to add 10 cents to that. I'm like, God damn it, the Antichrist.
But this isn't. This is Carpathia. I have some notes on this because, like, then you could just be like, I'm just going to buy 500 things at once and only pay 10 cents. I think it should be a percentage.
I think that's how he's going to get it passed through. It's like, it's only 10 cents.
Well, he's doing a lot more egregious stuff than
that. Oh, yeah.
Because in addition to 10 cent tax on electronic money transfers, guys, I hope you didn't think that the insurrectionists, you know, Egypt, Great Britain, and North America, were going to get away with this.
Right.
Because they're going to be punished.
Yeah. So, like, he's like, yeah, there's not enough taxes just from this, so all of you are going to have to start taxing your people more. And they're like, grumble, grumble, grumble. It's like, hey, shut the fuck up. So those other three had to pay way more. Egypt, Great Britain, and North America, from their sections of the 10, had to pay a 50% tax on their GNP.
Yeah. And I think that's another one. That's like, this is like truly the scare tactics of like right-wingers in America that are like, we can't do healthcare and like social services here. Do you want your taxes to be 50%?
Right.
It's like, and well, they're already like a lot. And I don't get anything for
it. 36 so. And I could die any moment.
Yeah.
And everyone else is just going to be 30%. So it's really only a 20% punishment, but still 50% is a lot.
It's a lot of money.
And, you're well
into the gross national product.
Yeah. Especially when you're in your biggest city / cities are rubble. Well, that's not going to be good.
Yeah. So that's happening. And then another bullet point on the Carpathia money plan.
This one's weird.
I didn't know what was going on. Carpathia is going to appropriate Alaska's oil fields. Mm-hmm. And he makes a little comment about years ago, it was capped off to satisfy environmentalists. Wouldn't he be on the environmentalist side? Like,
that's why it's all over the place.
It's just like really not coherent.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of that.
They wanted to make a dig at environmentalists, but they like didn't realize it's like, wait, but I'm having the Antichrist say that. So it's making it seem like the environmentalists are good.
Yeah. And I don't think, you know, 20 years ago, right-wing people were very pro-environmentalism.
Yeah, no, they were absolutely. Like, that's what I was like, they want to make a dig, but it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to like, damn, my environmentalists not letting me get oil.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Like, what are you saying? and Carpathia keeps talking, so like, we're going to get all this money and we're going to set up our utopian society based on peace and brotherhood. And then he brings up like giving block grants to the kingdoms too. And I'm like, that must have been like a political talking point in the 90s. Like block grants must have been evil for some reason.
Well, because like, they're kind of pushing back on like, well, whoa. It's like, hey guys, you'll get this, you'll get that. And it's, you know, it's just him kind of vaguely saying of all the benefits you will get.
I just thought it was like such a specific, like, why are you bringing up block grants? Like, that's so, like, because a block grant is just like the government giving to like a downstream, like, you know, municipal government, like, here's a chunk of money to help with a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, wow. I don't know. I just am curious.
Well,
like,
yeah. I mean, he actually kind of touches on that because it's going to be like, whoa. Yes, if I give you all this money, then everyone's going to be like, wait, are we beholden to them? And he's like, yeah, but no, you'll have to convince them and yada, yada, yada.
I just thought it was very specific and I wondered if it was just like a weird little political, like, talking point at the time to be like, block grants, they're bad, the government's gonna control us. And so they had to like slip that in there.
Yeah, maybe.
So after going on about the block grants, Carpathia goes super, like, right wing about the press. Tim, can you please read this?
Sure. While we may have been criticized for threatening freedom of speech or freedom of the press, I believe the world can see that those unchecked freedoms led to excesses that stifled the ability and creativity of any leader. While they may once have been necessary to keep evil dictators from taking over, when there's nothing to criticize, such oppositional editorialists are anachronistic.
That sentence specifically right there is the one that I was like, you sound like a fool. Like, yeah. You're just saying big words. Like, you could have, I could rewrite.
Such oppositional editorialists are anachronistic.
Like, like, is that even the word you mean? Like, what do you mean? Anachronistic means it's like not like appropriate to the time. Like,
yeah.
So I guess he's saying we don't
need that anymore.
We've moved beyond the need. need for
it's
free
so,
press.
Yeah, free press is so old fashioned.
But
and
I think
quaint.
But you know, I feel dumb even like bringing this up because it's just like so obvious. But it's like the right wing wants there to not be a free press. They want there to be one voice. Like, right. And they want it to be like, no, we want everything to be Fox News or
right,
whatever.
Right,
and I just
right.
think it's so funny that the projection that happens
yeah.
in this.
Yeah. That's kind of like how you're saying how it's just jumping back and forth between, well, I mean, he is like a fascist dictator. So he does have to do certain things that
right.
are super, like obviously, restricting freedoms. And the in our country, at least, it's like the party of freedom is also against all that shit. So it's like
right.
they're going to have a Venn diagram a little bit. And, you know, I don't think they're thinking that deeply about it. Right. It's not like, wait, the Antichrist and I both agree on something. Like, no, it's not that deep.
Right. Like, well, I think it's less like it's less that it's well, I do think they're like it's not that deep. But also it's like they don't feel the need to be consistent. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
they don't care if they're a hypocrite.
Well, yeah, because it's like something. There's like the vibe of a truly free press has like, I don't know, like what they even would think. But the fact that this is all government sort of like control, that's obviously bad.
Right.
So, like,
that's why like these people think they're like PBS is evil, NPR is
exactly,
evil. Like
exactly.
That's not, those are not the problems. The problem are the news organizations that are run by huge corporations with lots of money.
Right.
But that doesn't fit in with their viewpoint. So
it gets swept under the rug.
It doesn't work. So while Rayford is listening to all this evil stuff, he feels a tingle go up his spine and like feels more of a presence of evil than even
right.
before. To the extent that he's like, somebody looking at me?
What the
like,
hell?
He like gets up and looks out the little peephole in
there's
the cockpit.
No one there,
and
thank
like, okay,
God.
No one's there. And when he starts listening again, Carpathia's talking in an even different tone.
Yeah.
Like a creepy, like calm,
he said like monotone, even,
yeah.
like quiet voice.
He's doing NC Ultra.
Yeah.
He's NC Ultra-ing them. And he says a little speech.
This same control that we now have over all media, we also need over industry and commerce. Within the next few months, we shall all announce unanimously decisions allowing us to control business, education, healthcare, and even the way your individual kingdoms choose their leaders. The fact is, democracy and voting will be suspended. They're inefficient and not in the best interests of the people.
Well, first let's talk about what he's saying here, and then we'll go to what happens. Again, like, they've got to bring all these, like, political, like, hot points in. Like,
yeah.
We're going to control business and education and healthcare. Like, and this is, like, the whole, like, having universal healthcare to this kind of person is like fascist and evil.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, I think that is part of the, like, their justification for some of their restrictions on basic necessities is because the vibe of like, if you make government bigger, bad, but then it's like deeper and like whatever. It's like, well, what if government is bad? Which could happen, you know, many, it happens all the time.
It's currently happening.
Right. Well, within their framework,
what if
we have a truly like, whatever, like a coup or something like that. If all that shit is already under their purview.
Right.
Then it's bad. It's like a small little thing that we thought about with like, oh, if, you know, we expand the, Supreme Court, well, that just means a Republican has the opportunity.
Right.
Like, I don't know if that's not necessarily inherently an airtight defense of anything, but, you know, it's that vibe.
That's
like,
the argument
even,
that people have.
Yeah. At the time when we had Obama, it's like, well, we have Obama now, but what if we have someone else later? And that's part of the logic here, but it's also not thought that deeply because it's all their opinions is this weird gumbo omelet of just like barf.
Yeah.
So,
but it's just again, it's just like really interesting how they try to connect certain ideas with the Antichrist and with evil and like everything bad.
Yeah.
So it's like having some sort of like universal like education, healthcare, that is bad and you don't want that.
Yeah.
So they're doing their like political statements along with, it's all like very intertwined together.
Mm-hmm.
So after Carpathia does this whole speech, there's like a kind of creepy long pause. And Rupert's like, is my shit working? Like, what's going on? And then Fortunato starts to bring up all these ideas like they were his own. And that's exactly what happened when Buck, when the freaking hypnotizing happened with the shooting right. back at the end of book one. Yeah. It's like Carpathia said things. And there's a pause, and then people are like, this happened! I am saying this for the first time.
Yeah, because he's basically like, hey, we're going to do all these very strict things that's going to make the head global community leadership apparatus incredibly powerful. And yeah, I will be the one going over your books, yada, yada, yada. But he also like says, but you will think it's your idea.
Yeah.
And so that's what like the next of it is he breaks the spell. And they go through
for like hours.
Oh, here's my idea. Yeah. Here's my idea. And like Rafer's like, some of them even said the exact same thing of like, which is kind of interesting of like each of them being on the same page as, oh, we should, you know, get block grants from you so you have a better oversight. Oh, we should get block grants from you as oversight.
I think we should get rid of democracy. What do you guys think?
What do you guys think?
Yeah, that sounds and great.
It's like, why does he need to make them think it was their idea if he can just hypnotize them? And that's what I love about Carpathia. He has that little flair.
Just love of the game.
Yeah.
He just wants, he just loves hypnotizing people.
He wants people to be happy about whatever the fuck's doing. He doesn't have to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's just doing that. That's just for him.
That's just for him and for them because they think it's their idea, right?
And then they're, because if it's partially their idea, they're going to like be more, you know, like, that's my idea.
I'm guaranteed he's going to throw maybe every single one of these people under a bus at some point.
He's going to keep throwing them under the bus and, like, getting new guys in. Like, if they, like, do anything, like, even mildly, like, annoying to him. And then he'll just, like, brainwash everyone and be like, no, it's the same guy.
And they'll fall, they'll fall on their sword a little bit better and be like, yeah, I did think that. I did bring that up. Fuck.
So the whole meeting continues for several hours, and then Carpathia makes his final address to the group, which, again, Rayford is eavesdropping on. And he says, this is about the, like, talking about just how bad things are right now. That everything in the world is, like, all fucked up and they're going to have to rebuild and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so, like, taxes and fun and stuff like this. But, hey, things are going to get pretty rough.
Yeah, but he says, in one way, there's a positive side to this. Due to the incredible cost of rebuilding, the fewer people we must feed and whose standard of living we must raise, the more quickly and economically we can do this. With proper legislation regarding abortion, assisted suicide, and the reduction of expensive care for the defective and handicapped, we should be able to get a handle on worldwide population control. And that's another right-wing, like, the lefties are trying to do population control via abortion and assisted suicide.
Yeah.
And because this is literally when the whole like healthcare, like Obamacare shit was going, this is what they were like, they're going to do death panels and they're going to kill people. And I'm like, no, that's what you're doing by not having healthcare. You're doing the thing that you're saying. Ah, it makes me feel so insane.
Yeah. And it's also like, on each side of it, of like, he wants to make everything better and provide assisted suicide. I don't know if assisted suicide is better. I don't know. Abortion's good. But then he's like, oh, and then we'll stop caring for the defective and handicapped. So they have to throw in something truly evil. And that's not really a critique. He is the Antichrist.
But they loop, but I think that like evangelical Christians lump all those things in together. Mm-hmm. They see abortion as just as evil as, you know, not taking care of people who are disabled. Like, they see it the same as this, like, there is like a large contingent of people who are like super, super against assisted suicide, which that's a whole very complicated conversation. And like, sometimes assisted suicide is like, maybe if you have better health care, if someone would want to do this. So that's a whole complicated conversation. But all of these issues are lumped in together in conversation. Like, I just, because I remember it from the like healthcare debate times.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, that was later, but the same conversation's been happening for years. You know?
I don't know. I mean, it's stupid to say it. Like, I just don't think my man Nikolai would say this.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it just does not make sense. Like, they don't have like a real actual sense of like what it's not coherent because like they are what's the word I'm looking for, they have an evil boogeyman in their head.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm just gonna make the evil boogeyman say everything I don't like.
They're
so it doesn't always make sense because that person's not real.
And I guess it's like, Yeah, he has to be evil, so he has to do things that we all agree are evil, and it kind of breaks out. But I guess there's part of me that thinks for at least the first half of the tribulation, Nikolai does kind of have, in his own fucked up way, the best interest of people's, you know, at heart. That's not true, obviously, because right. he kills them.
But he has a facade of that.
Exactly. And there's, like, the fact that he wouldn't provide healthcare.
I mean, like, maybe he's, like, kind of think of it in, like, Thanos style, where it's just like, well, there's not enough resources, so, yeah. like, yeah, we just gotta bomb some people, yeah. and then we're gonna make it better. Like,
yeah. I mean, yeah, I think the answer is he's just the Antichrist.
He's just the Antichrist.
Yeah, he, weirdly enough, does not care about humans. Yeah. So, and I don't really know what his goal would be. Like, if you have...
Right, like, what's he even trying to do right now?
Yeah.
In his mind, other than just be in charge.
Because, like, he wants to save a little bit of money by all these people dying, and he thinks that's good. But there's a small part of it, too, is, like, this is literally him setting up, him being both the Antichrist and the book writers, setting up the next horseman.
Yes.
Of, like, because he is... That's kind of why he said it during the address, of, like, yes, there will be looting and yada, yada, yada. And he kind of, like, says it more specifically, is, like, there'll be looting, it's not going to be as efficient as we'd like. And there's going to be famine and disease because of all this shit's not going to go as well as we yeah. think it's going to go. So,
yeah, so
very weird. But also, I guess, you know, our honeymoon period with Carpathia is over.
I still love him. but Rafer hears all this and just closes the chapter up with him like, man, I got to pray. This is some bad shit.
This is bad.
Lord, please help me.
Yeah.
And like I said, I really got to stick around for this.
Yeah.
This sucks.
And like I said, this is the worst we've seen Nikolai. So it's obvious.
Yeah, he's ramping up the evil, which I'm loving personally.
Wow. He's a bad guy. And yet you root for him?
Yeah.
I think there's just a part of me that was just hoping he would keep on doing things that Republicans hated. Like, we will give better healthcare to handicapped folks and shit like that.
We will respect people's pronouns. Exactly.
No! See, I think later in the future, there's like a whole bunch of like strip. It's like dumb. It's like strip clubs and like fortune telling.
Oh my god. See, again, that's where it's just like, this is like the view of what is evil from someone who has like never lived outside of their hometown.
Right.
like you don't know what anything is.
Right. Like I said before, in the video game I tried to play as a joke, I kept dying because I got too close to rock and roll music.
Oh my gosh. So this one was a heavy couple of chapters. Yeah. All. Especially the second one was very like, hey, let me remind you what our worldview is.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the more that I like Rey, the more I'm allowing each bit of my hate from Rey gets kind of put through a grinder, and it allows Nikolai to be a little more evil, and I'm not on his side anymore. I'm not taking the hate and turning into more hate. I'm just like, come on, man.
Come on, man.
Stop that. You could have done all this other evil shit and one more government shit. You didn't need to say this part. Come on now.
He should have been like, yeah, like we're gonna open up a strip club on every corner, and like, I don't know.
We would give everyone happy pills and they get addicted to them, and then they'd have to take the pills and rely on us, and we'll tax those and yada, yada, yada.
And we're going to make weed legal. Yeah. The devil's lettuce.
It's great chapters. Excited for the next ones. Very much so. This is only the beginning of the book.
Well, we've already gotten like a pretty good chunk into it. These chapters are a little longer than the last one. I think we're not quite halfway done, but getting close.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I think we're at least a solid third of the way through the book, which is crazy.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, this one has less chapters than the previous one. So yeah, well, you know, things are, I do feel like there's a lot more action for sure. This one's definitely better than the last one.
They're blowing up so many things.
They're blowing up so many cities and airports.
I'm really curious what they're going to do once they stop running from explosions. And, like, I'm pretty sure the next little bit with Ben Judah's fucking crazy, if I remember it correctly. Man. So,
what are the witnesses doing? We haven't heard from them in a while.
Well, I think we did.
Wait, what do you mean?
Because they're like, can we get our buddies to help them? I think that's who they mean.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. But I miss hearing them,
I need them
talk their weird Bible talk.
I need them to use the phone, which
please.
I think is funny.
Oh my god, yes, please.
Like, I need to hear how they went through renting a stadium. I don't care if we made these exact same jokes. I want it to happen.
Let me see it.
Explicitly, please.
Yeah. So, anyway, thanks for joining us.
Thank
again.
You so much. You're so beautiful.
Yeah. Sorry we were a little late. It
happens.
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
Hanging out with friends. I'm sorry.
The damn Antichrist got in the way.
The damn Antichrist did it. Yeah, we'll just blame it on him when anything goes wrong.
Old Scratch.
Old Scratch is, I think, like, probably the number one, like, name for the devil. Yeah. Old Scratch is so good.
I always heard that in, like, Old Scratch at it again.
Old Scratch at it again!
So it's like, that's a little playful, isn't it?
Yeah, let's say Forever Late again for an episode. Like, Old Scratch at it again.
Log it again. you can follow us on Twitter at TribFarcePod or email us at TribulationFarce@gmail.com. You follow me on Twitter at Tim Lanning. You follow Jennifer at Jennifer Cheek online and everywhere. Thank you again so much. Tell a friend about the show, especially if you are also an ex-evangelical or you're like one of those cool Christians that can make fun of how stupid Christianity is. you know, stuff
yeah,
like that.
Cool guys.
But until next time, like a thief in the night, we are gone.
Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.